Welcome to Town Matters on 88.1 FM. In Town Matters, we talk about things that are of interest to folks in Colonial Beach, specifically things like what the town council is doing and what your government is doing and all sorts of other interesting topics for folks who live and play here in the Colonial Beach area. We haven't done one of these in a while, but today I have the honor of having our mayor, Robin Schick, in studio, and we're going to chat a little bit about what's going on. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Ted. It's good to be here with you today.
We've done a lot of these, but it's been a while. We were on a bit of a hiatus, but I thought it was high time we brought this back, partly because, once again, the issue of water and sewer has come back up because twice in the last 2 years, the bill has gone up, and people are wondering what's going on with that. Now, I know that there has been a lot of work going on to fix issues with the water and sewer system. There had been a lot of deferred maintenance that is basically we're playing catch up on.
Yeah.
And it's not a big surprise that the water bills have gone up, in my opinion, but it is still a bit of a shocker for some people. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
There's a lot of other really great things happening in town, too. So hopefully next time we'll be talking about more fun things than water and sewage. But this one comes up a lot, and I know people are really interested in it.
Well, we'll talk about other things, too. We're not going to spend the whole show on this.
So the water and sewer bills this last year, in anticipation of FY27, which started July 1st, have gone up. I think it's was around $7 combined a month, about $21 in the quarterly bill. And
yeah, this round wasn't a big one.
No, it's pretty minimal compared to what happened the year prior. And this is sort of about just leveling up with the actual operating costs at the plant. So the costs of the plant were outpacing the revenue of the bill for quite some time. Big part of that, too, was that a lot of maintenance wasn't happening. And because of that deferred maintenance, they weren't raising the bill because they weren't fixing things. Well, now we're fixing things, and so we also have to pay for that.
If you don't fix stuff around your house, it doesn't cost anything, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't cost anything to let it just deteriorate
until
and die.
It falls down.
Yeah. So, you know, we can't let that happen. We are also, I will say, a big part of this is we are under a DEQ consent order, which is a legal obligation to the Department of Environmental Quality to do these things, to fix the plant, to fix our infrastructure, to maintain it, to meet quality level standards, and to pay for them. Part of that is a legal document, and we must also pay our bills.
Is that agreement part of that sewage spill that we had a few years ago? Is that fallout from all of that where, okay, they said, all right, we're not going to fine you millions of dollars, but here's the things you got to do in order to stay in compliance?
And it was probably a long time coming. I think the spill is what finally forced it into what's called a consent order, which is this legal obligation. But there had been issues, these deferred maintenance issues aggregated over time that they were already paying attention to us. And then when that spill happened, you're right. So it took some time to negotiate that consent order, but we are now agreed to it and signed to it and obligated to it. You know, we have to do the things that we said we would do, and it's the right thing to do regardless.
Right.
Our water and sewer bills have had to keep pace with the operating costs as it stands now. One of the things that we did, obviously, right after that spill was get rid of the management that was in place at the time and hired out a contractor in Bowdoin. That cost has some impact to it, but it's not the primary cost for the bill being raised. I think that when I look at the budget differences between those years and now, we're seeing a very high electric bill. I don't know if everybody's seen it at their home, especially.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, this last winter. So the electric bill at the plant is, it's a big bill. It's about $250,000 a year.
Mm.
In electricity that runs that plant, and we are running the plant 24/7 mm-hmm. around the clock, and we're fixing more pumps. So we had a lot of electrical operations at the plant that were offline for a very long time.
Okay.
And as we fix pumps and UV lights and equipment and different electrical panels and all of those things.
So equipment that wasn't running before is now running and using electricity.
And the bill's gone up in general, right? Like the actual cost of electricity has gone up. And so not only are we using more electricity there, now mind you, we've replaced everything with LED lights. I mean, we're trying to be as conscious in this as we can. But the reality is, to run the plant correctly, you do need to run these pumps. You need to do these things. And these things need to be fixed. So the electrical bill was the biggest increase we had this year.
I had an amazingly high, just one spike of an electric bill this winter. I think it was February, where it was a really, really cold month and my heat was running a lot. But also the bill just, I mean, it would like doubled that 1 month. It was crazy.
Yeah, that one. And we're anticipating it. So when we are putting a budget together, we're putting it together in February, March, April. We're hopefully passing it by May ahead of, you know, there's a state deadline by the end of June. You have to have a municipal budget in place by that point. So we're putting this budget together in anticipation of what next year's rates will be. And we had already, it had been published that Dominion is going to continue to increase these rates. This is public knowledge and we are aware of it. And so we're anticipating what the rate cost is, not today, but next February. And so that's a big reason in this budget. And the other big thing is the disposal of sludge. Your wastewater goes into it. It goes through several different holding tanks. The water is pressed out. Bacteria is eaten by bugs. It's a very interesting process, actually, and we should do a show over there sometime. And it goes through UV lights and sand filtrations and all of these things. And
you've probably learned more about this process than you ever wanted to.
I never knew I would know this much about sewage. In the end, water leaves the plant. Right? Mm-hmm. Clean water that's tested and all of that. In the end, the water part leaves the plant, but what stays at the plant is called sludge. And that is the more concentrated, it's almost like dirt by the time it's done with the process. It is very thick.
It's fertilizer.
It's fertilizer. In the past, sewer plants were selling it as fertilizer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There are a lot of environmental regulations about selling your sludge as fertilizer, and there's a process that has to go through. We are not right now, we have not made capital investments to create the sludge into real fertilizer. Right? So what happens is we have to get rid of it. Well, this sludge has been backing up at the plant for a very long time because the sludge press, this is a press machine that takes the excess water out of that sludge so that it does become almost packed dry like fertilizer, like soil.
Okay.
That press machine had been broken over and over and over and over again. And the parts for it, it's so old that the parts for it don't exist anymore. We had to get parts made in Texas to fix it. It is fixed and running right now. It is small though for the amount of sludge that has aggregated in the plant. So we are removing a massive amount of sludge right now, and we'll continue to have to remove a massive amount of sludge that has built up over the next year. And the sludge has to be disposed of. And when you dispose of it, ours goes to the King George landfill. It's actually some of the best sludge they accept. We're very happy to have it.
We've got some quality sludge here.
Yeah, but we still have to pay them for that.
Right.
There's cost to that.
By the pound or whatever.
Right. And I mean, our public works guys are running 3 trucks a day right now of sludge removal out. We have rented an additional press we call the Cookie Monster. And we're running the additional press with it as well so we can get out as much of the aggregated old sludge as possible. We now also need to be processing the existing sludge as it happens in that process efficiently and on time. And that cost was not in our budget appropriately before because we weren't really doing it before because the machine was always broken. So
it's just one thing on top of another.
One thing on top of another. The other thing is we were at one point accepting sludge from private trucks.
Okay.
And we were getting paid for that. We were making some money on that. Mm. But because of the consent order and how we basically need to clean up our own act right now with this, we are not accepting sludge from anybody else right now.
Okay.
And so there's a revenue loss in that, you know, as well. Now, hopefully one day we'll be able to pick that revenue back up. But we got to make sure this plant is running right for us before we're accepting.
Get your own house in order.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, there's several impacts to the budget like this. We were also overly anticipating water and sewer new fee connections. We did raise the bills and created new code for that about 3 years ago. And there was a big increase in those connection fees a few years back. But in the last year or two, we haven't seen as many new homes being built as before. And I think there was a big boom in the 2020, 2021, 2022 range. But the reality is we need to be appropriate about anticipating that revenue. And if we inflate it in our budget and then don't make it, then we're really just operating a deficit. So we're just trying to get better at budgeting in some ways, and then in other ways being more realistic about the cost of things.
And just to clarify, because I don't know that everybody knows this, but the water and sewer system is, the budget for it is its own entity, and it is completely separate from the rest of the town's operating costs and whatnot. It is required to be self-sustaining, to support itself, not use funds from the general town fund, and pay for itself, but not take in too much money, more than they need. Is that all of that accurate? You used a special term earlier.
Yeah, it's called an enterprise fund. So your water and sewer runs under an enterprise fund, which means that it is not profit gaining. So it has to pay for its own bills and sustain itself. You hope to have some reserve funds for rainy day and repairs and things like that as well. But the reality is the bill that you pay, you know, that citizens pay quarterly, along with a few other revenue items that we have in that, the county pays a certain portion as well. That's all the revenue that can be used to operate the plant. So we are not taking from the general fund, which is like your tax bills or, you know, personal property tax or real estate or anything like that, to pay for water and sewer. Water sewer is funding itself.
So the bottom line is your water and sewer bill is just for your water and sewer.
Correct. Yeah, they are not intermingled in the town of Colonial Beach. And that is best practices. That's best financial practices.
Now, you said the county pays for some of it. So does the county pay the town for the homes that are technically in Westmoreland County, but because they're inside the limits of Colonial Beach?
The town entered a memorandum of understanding, or MOA, I think, with the county several years back to extend water and sewer lines to the shores, Westmoreland Shores. I believe Ebtide's in it, Berkeley Beach, Shellfield, and a few other places outside of town limits. So that sewage is collected, it's metered, and we have a formula with the county that they have to pay based on the amount of sewage that is brought into the plant.
Because those people in, say, Westmoreland Shores, they're paying the county for their water and sewer on a separate bill. They're not paying the town. So in turn, the county pays the town for them as a group.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a few outliers. Like, I think if you're connected on maybe Darrell Circle, or there's a few kind of individual connections, and those are billed at 1.5 times the town rate. So anybody outside of town limits that's connected to our plant is paying 1.5 times the town resident bill.
That's the extra shipping and processing of coming from.
Well, because they're not paying the rest of all the things that help operate the town to make that exist in the first place. Yeah, exactly.
Well, good. I just wanted to kind of clarify, people seen their bills raise the last couple of years. And I think the first one was like, okay, that was painful, and it was a big increase. But we understand why, because we've had all this deferred maintenance. The second one is like, well, wait a minute, why are they still raising my bill?
Yeah, didn't they just do that? So I will think it's important to point out that the year prior, the difference in the water and sewer bill was almost halved with reserve fund money. Instead of passing along the entire deficit in a bill format to our residents, we reduced that by taking reserve funds and supplementing the budget. That is not a sustainable practice, and it's not something that we can do year over year, or we won't have any reserve funds, and we need them for the things that we're fixing
when
right now. That was a mitigating factor because it was so significant that year, and we are just trying to make it the best that it can be, you know, and not impact the residents as hard. And so it's a compromise in all these things and just trying to do the best thing. Now, this year, it was a lot more minimal. And the good part is we've gotten a little bit better about budgeting with that. It was not as significant. And we also did not supplement it with reserve funds. So this is the actual operating budget billing, which is good.
I was going to say, at some point, this will all sort of settle out and you'll get back into a normal rhythm.
Knock on wood, I'm hoping it's settled out now. But, you know, it's hard to tell. Inflation this last couple of years has been very hard.
And as you say, electric bills.
The electric bill, everything, to be honest with you, has gone up. Health insurance and all of the things that have gone up in my life and your life, Ted, have also gone up for the town's costs. So,
okay. What else is going on? What else is the council or you involved in that people might be interested in?
Yeah, we have an upcoming meeting. Our August, I believe, work session will be our CIP, that's a capital improvements plan, FY27 prioritization, which is kind of a cool workshop-y meeting that we do. We started this last year, and we go through what we have slated in this current fiscal year, which will be FY27's year, on our capital improvement plan and how we're going to pay for it and what we're going to do and how we're going to get it done. The plan forecasts out 5 years in advance so that we can kind of keep things on our radar that are coming up. But it's really important in the year that we're currently in that we actually get those things accomplished. So some of those things are in process right now, and I'm excited about them. One of them is the North Beach shoreline, you know, the boardwalk that had extended along the North Beach. We were able to receive a grant for the engineering of that, engineering and permitting. And so that had a workshop in June with the public. They are going back with the public's reaction to that and their input and making updates and revisions before they go with the final engineering.
So this is like people are being presented with a drawing of what it will look like for their responses.
Yeah. So the June meeting was a preliminary drawing. So now they take that feedback and then see what they kind of come up with for the final. So I'm excited to see where that's going and what the final will really look like.
And that'll be a meeting in August?
So it's in progress right now. I don't know when the engineering will come back just yet, but
if it's ready, you'll review it.
If it's ready, I think it takes about a year though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think, now we're in the middle of it, so it's not a year from now, but I think the whole process takes about a year. So as we finish up the engineering, though, the next step on this will be going for an implementation grant. And so we'll be preparing during this step to take the next, which is to apply for a grant to actually do the project. That will need full support. If it doesn't have full support, then it probably will fail, and it's a lot of money. So we want to make sure
when you say full support, from what kind of, what does that mean? From who?
From the council and from the residents that live down there.
Hmm. And you say looking for a grant. So this is not coming out of tax dollars?
Correct.
They're looking to
right now we have not paid. Well, it's your tax dollars, my tax dollars. It's our tax dollars, but it's state and federal tax dollars.
Ah.
Not local tax dollars.
Not town tax dollars.
Right, yes.
Which is a big deal to people.
I'm a big fan, if you haven't noticed after all these years, of getting our tax dollars back to Colonial Beach. I feel like we spend a lot of money on federal and state taxes, and I know we have to fight to bring that back home. and
through grants,
and that's exactly what we need to do, because that's still our money,
right?
So and it's gonna go somewhere, and so hopefully
why not some for us.
That's what I'm hoping. But we're very fortunate to work with our legislative partners at the state and the federal level, and so I have hopes for that. The Northern Neck Planning District Commission is helping with that grant process. They're very successful, and we're very happy to work with them, Jerry Davis and his whole crew down in Warsaw.
Realistically, when would we see North Beach actually turned into something nice? So is it a 5-year process kind of a thing? Maybe. Where we might be waiting that long?
It could be 5 years.
Because, you know, we're talking about it now, and people are probably going to go, why hasn't this done yet? You know,
I probably won't be mayor still when it gets done, and then that's fine. But it'll be all this work that we did back in.
So you don't get
time.
To take credit for it.
That's fine. I don't need the credit for anything.
But I'm just trying to set, for people listening, realistic goals of, yes, they're working on this, but it takes time, and you won't see it next year.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, the permitting alone is almost a year process,
right?
Because we have to deal with Maryland and Virginia interstate permits.
Oh, because it touches the water?
It's in Maryland. All the work we're getting is in Maryland. It's another reason this has been a very complicated project.
Oh.
Is you're asking for grant money that is going to be spent in another state.
Mm.
The next thing is, well, really, there's kind of two things. One is the VDOT extension of Dwight Avenue. So Dwight right now goes obviously from the school by the post office down to 12th Street and stops. And then and the Meadows is behind there, and there's these vacant number streets, vacant 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15th Street that are back behind there. It's just woods right now, undeveloped.
With the golf cart path through it, right?
The golf cart path is on Euclid. It's the next block down from that. And so this was a VDOT grant we applied for 6 years ago. It is now finally coming. This is the year for it to come to fruition. We need to obligate for that and plan for it. But VDOT is going to administer the grant entirely. They engineer it. They do the project management. All we have to do is say yes.
That's nice.
Well, there's a grant match. So it won't say we don't have to pay for anything, but we have remainder ARPA funds that have been reimbursed. And so I think we will be able to pay for it through ARPA money that's been used 2-3 times over in these grant processes. So, you know, again, the idea is not new tax dollars, right? Mm. The good part about this is it creates, and the most important part really, is that it creates secondary emergency access to the Meadow subdivision. So right now our fire department and EMS is all, you know, downtown. And if a tree falls over at the nursing home across 205, the only other access point is the golf cart path, which is really not equipped for fire trucks and EMS rescue, right? So that was the basis for the grant application, is the secondary access for EMS services.
Okay. But that's with how you justify it.
Right. But with it comes additional drainage and a nicer street and, you know, curb gutter and all of the things that VDOT's going to require regardless.
And pieces of land that people could build houses on now because of the street access.
And access, right.
Yeah.
Access is very important. So the secondary road, this is very rare money to get a hold of. So it was an opportunity that we don't run out of waste this mm-hmm. opportunity. We won't get this opportunity again for VDOT to cost share half of that cost and to do the entire project administration for it mm-hmm. is incredible.
Realistically, we could see breaking ground when?
A year or two from now.
Okay.
Yes. You know, doesn't happen fast.
These are all long-term things, but I'm trying to put it in mm-hmm. perspective so people listening don't go, oh, why haven't they started this, you know, 2 months from now?
I know. A lot of these things I'm talking about right now are still a couple years out, but we've gotten a lot done. I mean, if you haven't seen, we've been smoke testing most of the town, which means we're trying to find leaks and breaks in the water and sewer lines and things like that, and we're sleeving them, replacing them. 7th Street's getting replacement. We had the major mains downtown all replaced, 2 years ago? There's a lot of work happening around town on infrastructure development improvements. The new park on Azalea, if you haven't been down to Azalea Park, Pirates Cove, Little Azalea Park.
Oh.
It's on Azalea and Stratford Street. It's a corner pocket park down in our Meadows neighborhood. And
I haven't seen that.
You've got to go check it out. It's adorable. It's pirate, you know, nautical themed. And I haven't been by it yet on a nice day that there aren't kids out there playing, you know, a dozen at a time.
Oh, good. Good. You did mention water again. I'm going to ask you one other question.
Go right
for it. The water meters, are we going to have metered bills anytime soon, or is that still something being worked on?
So the meters all needed new relays, right? And we're working on that now. They were still under warranty, so this is all covered under their warranty. We're replacing all the relays so that the meters can talk to one another and to each other and to the town. Once they're all communicating with each other, we'll have to monitor what is our real usage. And, you know, if we want to take any steps. Now, I'm personally not in favor of going to metered billing. And, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with me. The people who disagree with me the most are part-timers. They're people who do not live here full-time.
They would benefit the most.
Correct. Those are and you know, I think our retirees that live singly, I think they're the ones that are going to benefit by metered usage. But that's not true. The people who will benefit by metered usage are part-time people who do not live here and don't pay most of, you know, the other fees and things that we are paying as full-time residents. That's who's going to get a lowered bill if any bill gets lowered. And that's because they come and flush their toilet maybe 3 times a year. And even if you are living singly and you are retired, you're flushing your toilet at least a couple times a day, I hope.
But still far less than a family of five, you know, or whatever.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you can't have some excess usage fees associated with it, you know? So let's say you go in excess of, you know, an exorbitant amount of water or sewer, then you would have maybe a penalty fee
like
or an additional fee. Yeah. So that, you know, I'm not saying I'm against that part of it, but the base fee needs to cover, to me, your full-time residence. And because we're being supplemented by the second homeowners, and we have to be, or you talk about what our water and sewer bills are today and the $7 increase we had per month this last year. And, you know, you're looking at a whole lot bigger increase for your year-round residence.
I just think in terms of the meters themselves, people think you put these meters in, but you're not using them. Well, why did we do it?
Yeah, it does. Well, we did it because it was mandated.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All water in Virginia was mandated to get metered.
Whether you charge them by the meter is
correct.
Not mandated, but putting in the meters is mandated.
Well, we think one day possibly it could be mandated.
Okay.
But we don't, you know, right now how we charge is up to us. But
so it wasn't even the town's choice to do this.
The town never would have chose to do it. But I mean, I'm glad we have the meters because we will have more data. The meters are still important. And so the data from the meters will tell us what's broken, what's, you know, not working properly, if you have reliable data from the meters, at least that is, right?
And
which so far we
that.
Haven't.
Yeah.
But ideally, that data is very important and we can be making decisions that are helpful to it. But I think, you know, when people talk about, I want my bill by usage, the only people that's actually, I think, to the benefit of is the second homeowner. And honestly, they help supplement our,
you know,
the full-time resident.
I just think that people feel there's a fairness to it. If I know that, you know, I'm paying for what I use and you're paying for what you use. And so the fact that I see you watering your lawn all day long and I'm not watering my lawn because I'm trying to conserve water, my bill's going to reflect that. Or where right now it's like, well, they're using all the water they want. Why shouldn't I too? And that just makes everybody's bill go up.
Right. But is it fair that the person that can afford to have the second or third home here in Colonial Beach, you know, because they only come once a year, pay the lowest amount, while the person next door who works at McDonald's or works at Dockside or High Tides and is the reason that family that comes once or twice a year enjoys Colonial Beach.
But that family that comes once or twice a year is paying water bills somewhere else, too. So, you know, they're paying for what they use. That seems fair to me. But there's no reason we can't institute a minimum
that says
everybody's going to pay at least this much.
No matter. My point to that, though, is that we have to run the infrastructure regardless.
Yes.
Okay. So,
well, that's why the minimum.
In order for that house to exist, for them to come to,
right.
You know, and I mean, our second homeowners are very important to us. So, the reality is that the full time resident, you know, we know what our numbers are. Our salary and income levels are a lot lower than our second homeowners.
No, I take your
point.
And,
you know, we need to be affordable in that way to have the economy of workforce that lives and works at beach resort town.
Well, but a minimum bill.
Yeah.
That you can't go below, even if you never flush your toilet.
As long as it covers the full-time residents. That minimum bill, in my opinion, needs to cover a family, a full-time family. And I say that because it is the families, the people that have one or two kids here in Colonial Beach, that are the workforce. That's who we're talking about.
Right.
So, and then that would also cover your single retiree. That would naturally cover them as well.
Right.
But if we don't cover that, then we are going to continue to push families out of Colonial Beach.
Well, I guess it's something that the council will wrestle with in the future.
I think it's still a couple more years off, just like a lot of the other things.
So, Robin, we're doing this interview right kind of in the middle of summer, and the town is abuzz almost every weekend with something interesting and fun to do, even through the heat of the summer. In August, we've got Waterfest on the 15th, I believe. Of course, we do have our Second Friday Art Walks every month, which are also sip and stroll events for most of them, but not all of them. You mentioned the Labor Day Arts and Crafts Festival over Labor Day weekend.
That's one of my favorite events as well. I always get some good Christmas gifts at that and then hold on to them in secret places and then hope I can find them in December to wrap them.
Like a squirrel hiding nuts, huh?
Yeah. I mean, there's just some really great vendors that come to the Boardwalk Arts and Crafts Festival. And it just lines the whole boardwalk. It's a really wonderful event.
And then, of course, we have the Northern Neck Beach Music Festival on, I think this year it's the 12th of September, 12th
That's
and 13th.
So much fun. You get to dance with your toes in the sand out there on Town Hill, and the bands are fantastic, and it's just a great day and a good cause, too.
Like a lot of our events, the Beach Music Festival seems to get bigger every year.
I agree. Like Juneteenth this last year, I mean, really just has stepped up to the plate and it's just getting better and better.
I was very impressed with Juneteenth.
Yeah. I thought it's a very meaningful day and a meaningful event and also a lot of fun and energetic and
I think it also helped this year that it happened to fall on a Friday, again, leading us into a nice long holiday weekend. I think everybody enjoyed that.
And the weather was gorgeous.
And the weather was perfect.
So I hope the weather is equally gorgeous for all these other events as well. Waterfest is normally kind of hot, but it's pirate themed and mermaid themed. So get wet and, you know, just embrace that. And then Beach Music Festival in September is a little bit cooler sometimes, so hopefully we'll have great weather for that too.
On the cusp of summer.
I know. I still think September in Colonial Beach is one of my favorite months, though.
It's great. I love every month at Colonial Beach. We love coming here in the winters.
It might be because it's my birthday month.
Oh, that might make a difference. Robin, thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure, as always, to catch up on business and fun things here in Colonial Beach with you.
Yeah, I love Colonial Beach, and it's been a great year. We're going to keep having a great year. I look forward to it.
All right, Robin. Thanks.
See you soon.